CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back, and we're live here at CBS Radio's The Sky, New Horizons, No Boundaries. It's Fire It Up with CJ, which you can actually now find the you can now find the podcast over at iTunes. So make sure you check that out. Our guest today, Eileen Quigley, educating us on one of today's most pressing topics, climate change. It's Brandon filling in for Cassandra today. We'll get things back over to CJ and Eileen.
Hey, thank you, Brandon. So welcome back, everybody. We are talking about climate change. And as Eileen so aptly said in the previous segment, we are in the era of consequences, which means that we have seen tornadoes, floods, record heat waves, droughts. And I know, actually, a lot of my relatives on the East Coast are still disputing that climate change is real. I kind of am shocked, but still, I think that there's still people who don't believe that it's true. And so my question for folks out there who are still kind of questioning this is, what will be the cost if we don't act? You know, if you read what people say, there's loss of food production, infectious disease, air pollution, and what is the risk that we don't do anything? That's kind of how I look at it as a life coach. So enough with doom and gloom. Let's get back to hopeful. But that's just a ploy to please take this seriously. Welcome back, Eileen Quigley, Director of New Energy City Program in Seattle. So welcome back, Eileen.
Hey there.
So tell us when we were talking about what's happening at the federal and state level. How do cities fit into the picture?
Well, you know, cities are really ground zero when it comes to climate change. We're expecting 80% of humanity are living in urban environments now, and they account for about 70% of global greenhouse gas emissions. And that number is only expected to increase as countries.
Read that. Tell me again. 80% live in urban environments, and they're accounting for 70% of greenhouse emissions.
70% of all global greenhouse gas emissions are emitted by people who live in cities throughout the world.
Okay, got it. So it's not just us here in the United States.
It's a global picture. But that also means that working on climate change at city level is mission critical. So the other aspect of cities is that there's a great deal of innovation at the local level, and it's quite possible, and of course it's part of the theory of change for my program, that we will be able to drive change from the bottom up. So the focus of my program, the New Energy Cities program, which is based here in Seattle and is a program of climate solutions, is on small to medium-sized cities. We chose to work with them because we saw them as needing the support the most. We think that the larger cities, you know, the Seattles, the Portlands, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, the big cities are getting there on their own, and they're very well staffed. And, in fact, those communities that I just mentioned, those cities are, in fact, leading in the country and are cities we look to for guidance when we have designed our own program. But when we look at the small to medium-sized communities, we see a real need for assistance. The other thing.
Before you go on, tell the audience what size is a small to medium-sized city, the population.
We work with communities that are under 250,000, and we're generally in the range of somewhere between 60 to 120, 130. But we have worked in very small communities. We've worked in communities of sizes of 9,000 and 10,000. Then also we've been involved in the city of Boise, which is fairly bumping up against 250. So that's the range for us. The cutoff that we chose was 250,000.
Right. And so for a city that small, they really don't have a budget. They don't have the budget and the resources to put together a whole planning committee to focus on climate change. I see. So that's where you guys come in.
Correct. And also, and sustainability coordinators or even the funding to be able to send staff to conferences to get educated. And so we do need to have somebody on the staff if not a sustainability director or if not a climate change planner, somebody whose job it is to focus on this. So that's an important component. But sometimes that'll be the head of the Department of Public Works or the head of the Transportation Department or Environmental Services or the city manager sometimes.
Right. So you work with advocates to help educate them and kind of share best practices. Got it. Okay. So tell us a little bit about some of the kind of cool things that are happening out there.
Well, you know, there are a lot of very interesting developments. We were talking a little bit before about what the Obama administration could do going forward, but one of the things the Obama administration did in the last, in its first administration, was fund a fair amount of clean energy innovation throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And those grants, they were administered through the Department of Energy and became part of what's known as the Better Buildings Program, turned out to be quite significant and quite useful as almost starter fuel for a lot of communities. Mm-hmm. Some of the communities that we've worked with received that funding and some that we didn't. But what we've seen is enormous amount of innovation that was unleashed by being given these grants that you had to bring together your community members and figure out a plan for sustainable energy. Last summer, we wrote a report, my team and I wrote a report called Powering the New Energy Future from the Ground Up, Profiles in City-Led Clean Energy Innovation. And we looked at 34 communities throughout the country that had really gone the distance, done something very, very interesting with their funding. And so we could talk about some examples of that, or I could talk about closer.
Yeah, I want to loop back. I mean, if you live in a community that didn't get this funding, is that because it wasn't a priority? Or, like, what was the amount of funding that, an example of the funding that they would get?
So the cities actually had to write grants for it. And so if you got it, usually you had some kind of a clean energy vision. You had been able to organize your community, your private sector as well as your public sector folks, and get them all to say, yes, this is something that we want, and we're going to support it, and we'll match the money. So they were leveraged grants. A lot of the real innovators in the countries were the ones who have probably had a clean energy focus for the last 5 to 6 years, and not ones that are starting to think about it in 2013 or 2012.
Right, got it. And so tell us a little bit about Issaquah. And I know you're excited about Issaquah. Tell us about what they did and why it's so important.
Right. So the city of Issaquah is a bedroom community in Seattle. Has lots of people who work at Microsoft there and Boeing and other big employers around here in King County. And they're a very interesting community because unlike some communities have set meaningful greenhouse gas emissions goals, but they haven't then said, how are we actually going to get there? And out here in King County, Washington, set a goal back in 2007. They looked at the climate science, and they determined what would be needed to stabilize the climate, and, in fact, was one of the first in the nation to actually do that. And King County set a goal of reducing carbon emissions to 80% of their levels in 2007 by the year 2050. And Issaquah was one of several cities in King County that adopted the same goal. But where Issaquah took this another step forward is that their mayor and their staff then kind of looked at each other and said, okay, that's great. We committed to that goal, but how do we actually do it? And so that's where we came in. They called us up and they specifically asked us that question. They said, we've set this goal, but we don't even know what it means. And they also said, frankly, can we do it? Are we even sure? I mean, did we sign up for something that we don't even know if we're capable of doing?
Right.
One of Issaquah's interesting challenges is that they are a growth city. They are growing very quickly. So they've set this really significant, ambitious greenhouse gas emissions reduction goal at the same time that they also have pretty ambitious growth patterns. So it's a double challenge for them. But the good news is that they actually, it looks to us as though they can achieve it. And so what we do is we look at their energy uses and sources in the community. So we talk to the utilities and we say, okay, how much energy and which form is this community using? Is it gas? Is it oil? Is it hydroelectric? Is it renewable? And we look at, so those are all the kind of the sources. And then we use a energy mapping technique that tells, is able to tell the city exactly where all of that energy
Interesting. Right. And, you know, we actually have to go on break, so I want to continue because I think it's fascinating to just hear your process of what you've been doing on Issaquah. So the next segment, we continue talking to Ellen Quigley, Director of New Energy City Program in Seattle, and we're going to be talking about a couple of other innovative programs and specifically what they did in Issaquah to help them achieve their goals. So this is fantastic, right? So, folks, make sure to go to www.fireitupwithcj.com to subscribe to be eligible for freebies and to get a schedule of upcoming shows, articles, and coaching tips. We'll be right back.